You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
This is Aaron, Todd's producer. Thank you for joining us for this weekend's edition of the Best of the Todd Albaugh Show. We had some really great shows this week and conversations with a lot of different people. You can check all of that out by going to civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere else you get your podcasts. Today, though, we're going to start out with Wednesday's conversation with Dan Schaefer, founder of the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media political editor. He recently wrote an article that might be a little bit of a controversial opinion on his website, in which he details the reasons why he doesn't think Tony Evers should run for a third term as governor. Listen in to find out why.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man.
Milwaukee's best.
It's a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity.
Hey man, what about Milwaukee, man?
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
I think God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
And it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
What do you think about Milwaukee?
This is the dimension of imagination. You are now entering the Recombobulation Area.
The founder of the Recombobulation Area, also our political editor, here at Civic Media, and I said this, I think, yesterday on the show, Dan Schaefer, that Maggie Gow and Britt Cutterback from the governor's office are probably going to need to spend some time there, because after what you wrote, they're probably feeling a little discombobulated.
I like how you set that one up, Todd. That's good stuff.
How are you?
But yeah, what do you want to talk about today, Todd?
For those that don't know, Dan debuted yesterday at the Recombobulation Area, and please go there and subscribe at www. And I'm told now by people smarter than me, you must use the
www.recombobulationarea.news.
That's it.
There we go.
I was trying to help. I just messed things up. But anyway, go there, therecombobulationarea.news, resubscribe. It's fantastic. And yesterday, Dan Schaefer, you published an op-ed in which you made a little bit, as Bob Schieffer at CBS likes to say, made a little bit of news.
Made a little bit of news, stirring the pot a little bit. Decided to go out and plant a flag on this one. I wrote, the title of the piece is called Pass the Torch, Tony Evers Should Not Run for a Third Term as Governor. Basically, the larger premise of the piece is that Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have not done and step aside when the time is right. And I think Evers, who will be 75 in November 2026 when he is on the ballot, when he would be on the ballot if he decides to seek a third term, I think it would be the best decision for him now to step aside and pass the torch to the next generation of leaders in Wisconsin.
I've seen it. It's very well written, as you always do. I think it's very thoughtful. Did you come to write this just from your own thoughts, or is this based on your reporting, the people, the sources you've talked to within the Democratic Party, with outside, and just thinking, you know, I'm not sure this guy has a real shot again?
Well, I've talked to a number of people as I've put this together. I've had this in the works for a while. It's something I've been thinking about quite a bit, and I think it, yes, it is very much colored by what happened with Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024. The debate, the dropout, everything connected to it. But I think it is beyond that. I think, I think Evers could still be a very strong candidate if he does run again. But I also think there is a whole lot of risk involved with running a candidate in his mid-70s for an important office like this. And you know, I'm not saying there is a direct one-to-one comparison between Tony Evers and Joe Biden. You know, Joe Biden was a particularly unpopular president. Tony Evers is a popular purple state governor. But I think Democrats have to recognize that they have had a real problem with this. It's not just Biden. You know, there have been 8 congressional Democrats since 2022 who have died in office. 3 since last fall's election. You know, at what point are Democrats going to stand up and recognize that they have a problem here and actually pass the torch to the next generation of leaders? And I think back to, you know, 2007, 2008, I think part of what was so thrilling about Barack Obama's rise at the time is because it seemed like he was ushering in this new generation of leadership, that Democrats seemed like the party of the future. I don't think you can really say that about the Democratic Party right now. It's not just Biden. It's not just these other folks who have spent too much time in office. You know, even just look at the U.S. Senate. There are more senators over the age of 75 than there are senators younger than the age of 50. And of those senators who are over 75, I think 9 of 12 of them are Democrats. Mm-hmm. And this has been such a problem for the party. I don't see how we are not having this conversation about Evers, about passing the torch.
So what's your in writing this article at the recombobulation area, what's your biggest concern, Dan? Is it really about what could happen to Evers personally? Like, hey, you know, let's get a little long in the tooth here. Anything could happen. Let's avoid having the possibility or a greater possibility of a Biden-esque moment. Or are you using kind of Evers as the, holy crap, we as the Democratic Party here are the Democratic Party, we just need to move on?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think there is also an element of this that by staying on for another term, it stymies the other larger development of the party. And I think there have been some other moments where the Democratic bench has not been as strong. I think there are a number of qualified candidates who would be, you know, throwing their hats into the ring if Evers decides not to run. And I think, you know, given the larger dynamics of kind of the history of a midterm election, given the field of Republicans, which I think is really poor right now, that could be running for governor in a couple of years, I think the time is right to pass the torch and, you know, let the next generation of leaders rise. And I think there's also this problem, too, that Democrats have, to their detriment, gone out of their way to avoid a primary. I think, you know, everything that happened with Kamala Harris last year was, you know, considering the timeline and everything, it was an acceptable enough process, but it still wasn't a particularly good one. I think we would have been better off having the voters decide. I think that would also have been the case had we had a more competitive primary in the 2022 Senate race. I think there is this kind of iron sharpens iron quality of having, you know, more competitive primaries that Democrats, to their detriment, have avoided. And as so many people are looking for, you know, what should be the next path forward for Democrats? Who's the Joe Rogan of the left? Should we go with abundance or populism or whatever it is? How about we just have the voters decide? How about we get back to that small D democratic principles and putting it to the voters and letting the people decide?
We're talking with Dan Schaefer, the founder of the Recombobulation Area. You can check him out at www.therecombobulationarea.news. Please subscribe. It's a great publication. He is also our political editor here at Civic Media, talking specifically about an op-ed he wrote yesterday and published calling for Governor Evers not to run for a third term. Dan, I'm enormously entertained by this and intrigued by it. Like I say, it's really well written. But here we have, and you've been pretty open about this, that, you know, you lean more Democratic when it comes to just your political ideology. Me, a former Republican who left the party in 2011, but has voted Democratic ever since. And you would think maybe, well, Todd would be all, this is great. I mean, Todd would be all for it. I'm generally a pot stirrer. But here now, I guess maybe it's my old school in me, because I'm not quite there yet. I mean, if Evers is on the ticket, yes, I'm going to support him regardless of, because I think that there's nobody on the Republican side who's not a sycophant, a genuflector to Trump. And I think that's dangerous. But here's my concern, Dan Schaefer. And I was listening to you filling in for Maggie Dawn with Angela Lang and Matt Rothschild yesterday. You all did a fantastic job. And I thought Angela Lang said something really interesting. And correct me, because I'm going to paraphrase it as I recall it. And she said something along the lines of, and she's a longtime organizer in the Milwaukee area. She said something along the lines of, I think in this time of Trump and kind of extremist rightism, that there's a lot of Democrats, particularly in the progressive base, who don't want a centrist anymore, who don't want this kind of milk toastiness, that they want somebody harder on the left. And that's my concern, that if Evers doesn't run, there's going to be this wide open Democratic primary, and that the progressive base is going to nominate more of a lefty who is not going to sit well in a general election. And then we get that idiot Showman or somebody else in the governor's seat. And then it's, you know, Katie bar the door. Here we go.
Well, I think my issues with Evers have never really been like a real ideological difference policy differences. And so, but I think if, you know, just the short list of candidates that I mentioned on there, would you pluck out any of them to say that they are particularly far left? So I'll just run through the list quickly. Attorney General Josh Call, State Senator Kelda Royce, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. I'm probably missing some. And you know, soon to be former chair Ben Wickler. Is there anybody in that group that you would consider to be part of like the progressive left-leaning wing of the party that you think might have trouble with in, you know, capturing some voters like yourself, some in more independent-minded kind of towards the center?
I think I'm a bad example because I've just been through too much politically. Otherwise, I'm going to vote for the Democratic nominee, whoever that is, because I'm opposed to Trumpism. And I don't think there's anybody in Wisconsin Republican politics that's a possibility candidate for governor who's not part of Trumpism. So I'm a poor example. I will say people in, as they say, outstate, people not in Milwaukee and Madison, people in more rural areas of the state. To answer your question directly, I've had the pleasure of meeting all the people that you mentioned. They're all fine with me. There's nobody there I personally have a problem with. What I'm concerned about is to win the Democratic primary, how far left do they have to go? What position? I mean, Josh Call, I mean, he's seen as milquetoast. He didn't go after the fake electors in Wisconsin. I don't think he can win a Democratic primary. Kelda Royce, I think she's very smart, a great senator. She has been a little bit outstate, but I don't know how she's going to play statewide. She lost the primary once for a governor in the Democratic primary. Sarah Godlewski, I think she's fine. I hear her husband has financial issues that could come up in a general election. That may stymie her. I think Sarah Rodriguez is fantastic. That would be my pick, but you know, she's not super well known right now. Of course, that can be solved with money. Guess what? Who else do we leave out? Ben Wickler, fantastic chair. We're going to get to that in a minute. I think he should be DNC chair still, but you know, he's never been an actual elected official. How does that play? So there's just a lot of unknowns, and in a time in our state where Governor Evers' veto pen is the only thing keeping us from being Florida or Texas politically, do we want to take that chance?
Well, I think, you know, we can't be so risk averse that people are afraid of their own voters, right? I think, you know, to want to control the scenario as much as I think some do, I think that, you know, gives fewer opportunities to really have the conversation. We don't know how these candidates might run until the rubber hits the road, until this goes from the hypothetical to the reality. And I think, again, we can't be so risk averse that we're afraid that Democrats are afraid of their own voters.
Back with more after this is the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Thanks for sticking around on the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. Here's the rest of Todd's conversation with Dan Schaefer, Civic Media political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, on why he does not think that Tony Evers should run for a third term as governor.
He's here live and in person directly out of the Recombobulation Area. Mr. Dan Schaefer, the founder of the Recombobulation Area and also our political editor here at Civic Media. You can see all of his work and please subscribe at www.therecombobulationarea.news. Talking about this great article he wrote yesterday, op-ed calling for Governor Evers not to seek re-election. Off of the YouTube channel, Tony says, I'm generally anti-older candidates. Gee, thanks, Tony. But Evers feels a little different. I really love the guy. Dan, people really do love him. I mean, his last Marquette Law School poll, his numbers are like still 60-plus likability, favorability.
Wasn't quite that high, but he is very well liked among Wisconsin Democrats. He is among the more popular politicians in the state. He has had demonstrated that he does have some crossover appeal. But you know, at a certain point, you know that was also the case for another former Wisconsin Democratic politician who I used as an example in this piece too. So one of the things that I talked about. And this piece was the example of Herb Kohl retiring. The late Herb Kohl, in May of 2011, Herb Kohl announced that he was going to be retiring at the end of his term. And now this is right after Democrats got absolutely cooked in the 2010 midterms. You know, Scott Walker won, Ron Johnson won, Republicans flipped the state legislature. So holding that seat in 2012 was far from a sure thing. But what happened was Kohl announced that he was retiring. And here's the quote that he said in that news conference announcing his retirement. He said, quote, "The office doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the people of Wisconsin. And there is something to be said for not staying in office too long." So does Tony Evers want his legacy to be more like that of Herb Kohl, who has a pretty unimpeachable legacy at this moment and got to spend his golden years riding shotgun in the car leading the Milwaukee Bucks championship parade? Or do you want your legacy to be that like that of Joe Biden, who spent who is now spending his time dodging questions about whether or not he was mentally competent while in office, whether or not he was covering that up, and whether or not that contributed to the rise of fascism in America?
Wow. I love every part of this. I love every part. Dan Schaefer stirring it up. Jenny, watching on YouTube as well, says, because earlier before the break, my argument was, I'm afraid the Democrats are going to mess this up and nominate somebody who's way too progressive to win in a general election. Jenny says, everything Todd is saying is exactly the conversation Democratic voters should be included in and justifies Dan's article, exclamation point.
I think we have to be having this conversation. This has to be a conversation that comes out of the behind the scenes, off the record type of stuff to actually publicly having this conversation. I think Democrats are so afraid of their own shadow at sometimes that, you know, I saw some comments out there saying, oh, you know, this is only going to be used by Republicans to sow discord among Democrats. No. Do you think this conversation is not happening in some capacity?
I know it is.
We all know this conversation is happening. Yes. And to stand there and you know, don't move, otherwise Republicans will notice that Tony Evers is old. Come on, get real.
No, you and I both, people have talked to both of us off the record, and these conversations have been happening for a year or plus all around the state of Wisconsin and in the Democratic Party. Look, I want to get to this. Gene, I see you in Eau Claire. I know where Gene is at. She's a big fan of Governor Tony Evers. She likes to say he's a workhorse, not a show horse. Gene, we'll get to you in hour two. But I want to get, Dan, I want to get your take on this. We don't have time for the clip. But Ken Martin, the DNC chair of the National Democratic Party, was caught on tape. It was released by Politico. We played it yesterday. And basically, Ken Martin is saying, I don't know if I want to do this anymore because of all the infighting out in D.C. That, to me, is just, again, Democrats have a problem nationally right now, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going great with Ken Martin. Just bang up job there. you know, and this is part of the issue. If you can't bring together a coal, if you're thrown off by some disagreement within Democrats, like, how did you not see that coming? This is the big tent party. There's going to be a lot of differing opinions and all of that. And to not, you know, see this type of thing coming is another part of the problem.
Big Democratic convention, right? The Dells, are they part of the text to win contest? They're having their convention of the Dells this weekend. For a long time, everybody thought Joseph Pecky was a shoo-in, but then Wickler, the current chairman, reversed, I'm not going to endorse anybody. Then he endorses his lieutenant. How's this going to, once again, Wisconsin Democrats snatching victory or defeat from the jaws of victory. Let's hold the vote on Father's Day. Boy, that was a great idea.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to being, I'm going to be there in the Dells covering the vote. So I'll be there spending part of my Father's Day covering that vote. It's going to be a ranked choice vote, which I think is kind of interesting, having the three candidates and having a ranked choice vote. So that will be interesting. None of the other officers have contested races. So, like, for example, Sarah Godlewski is running for first vice chair. She is going to win that race because there is no one else running for first vice chair. So the actual chair race, it's going to be really interesting to follow. You know, it'll be interesting to see how impactful Wickler's endorsement was, if that may have backfired, how exactly this is all going to play out. And I'm looking forward to everybody there being super thrilled with me.
I feel so bad for you. Yes or no, can Wickler still become the DNC chair? Can Martin be thrown out?
I mean, I would love to see it.
Me too.
I'd love to see
me
it.
Me too. And finally, no bigger Bucks fan than you. Giannis staying in Milwaukee or no?
I think he's staying.
Yes, you heard it here first. Check him out at the recombobulation area. Mr. Dan Schaefer, thank you so much. Appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Todd. Be well.
Always a pleasure.
Up next on the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show, Friday's conversation with Lisa Hale and Pete Schwabba. Stay tuned. Thanks for sticking around for the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show this week. Here is part of Todd's conversation with Lisa Hale and Pete Schwabba on Friday the 13th.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 35 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here. Glad to have you along live from Green Bay, WGBW Studios here in downtown Green Bay. As we're wrapping up our show for today on the roads, so many great people. Lisa Hale, the Bureau Chief of Civic Media News here in Northeast Wisconsin, and also the host of the great program on the weekends, New Wisco Weekend, joins us via StreamYard and here in the Pete Schwabba Studios, the one, the only, the host of Nightlight every evening from 6 until 8, Pete Schwabba is here. How are you?
I'm great, Todd. Great to be here with you, buddy. Thanks for inviting me. I kind of had to come in here anyway, so I hope you didn't feel early. Obligated.
No, I felt bad asking you to come in early, but it's always great to have you here.
No, it's great to be here. I said in my text to you, if Todd Alba asks, I say how high.
You're too kind. You're way too kind, my friend. Lisa, before we let you go, I just wanted to wrap up. And again, people can hear your great program over the air on WGBW and WISS in Oshkosh every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. and on Sundays at 11 a.m. They can also hear it via the Civic Media app if you tune into GBW or ISS, and of course at civicmedia.us as well. What's coming up on the big program this weekend?
Well, as I said, it's Flag Day, so our cover story is Fly Me Flag in Green Bay. We've got a story on the Oshkosh Farmers Market. We've got some stories on, excuse me, I feel like I have to cough. We have stories on reckless driving on the Jolly Roger. That's what Amanda did her commentary on this year. So it's the flag, the Jolly Roger. And, you know, Pete Schwabba is part of New Wisco Weekend. Yeah.
Schwabba's part of this? True. I didn't even plan this.
I'm the only one who contributes who got a signing bonus. I probably shouldn't say that on the air, but.
No, you shouldn't.
Very proud to be part of the show. Lisa's phenomenal. It's a great show.
Yeah. It really is. It really
he
is.
He does a classic cinema pick every week, and he does a very good job of tying it to the theme somehow.
I try.
He does.
Is it going to be like a patriotic pick this week for Flag Day?
Well, it was Flag Day, and I was looking for obviously flag football movies, but there aren't many of those out there. No. So I just went with the actual Flag Day.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, looking forward, nervous anticipation to this. Lisa, is there anything I have not asked you so far you'd like to share with our audience about New Wisco Weekend or events happening here in Northeast Wisconsin?
Oh, there's so much I could talk about, but I just say tune into New Wisco Weekend, whether you get it off of a podcast through our website, civicmedia.us, or hear it live on the air. It's a great magazine show, and I think you'll enjoy it.
I certainly do, and I would encourage all of our listeners to check it out as well. You and your team do a great job of putting this together. Thank you for all you do. I know you've joined us before at election nights as well. Lisa Hale, you're part of what makes Wisconsin great, being a part of our great news team all across Wisconsin, but also bringing us these great programs on focusing on Wisconsin culture and things that might get overlooked, but we should all be aware of. So thank you so much, and thank you for taking time to join us today.
Absolutely. I appreciate you, and I'm happy to be here.
Thank you, Lisa. Lisa Hale, everybody. We'll talk to her soon, a host of New Wisco, Wisconsin, or New Wisco Weekend, pardon me, and also our Northeast Wisconsin Civic Media News Bureau Chief. Again, here we are in the Schwabba Studios in downtown Greeley. I almost feel like I'm on Nightlight because Pete to my left, and you've got your great producer, Conrad, on the other side of the glass, fixing himself a nice gin and tonic before the show, which I think is fantastic.
It calms him down. It's a little intimidating being here, isn't it, Todd? You get to a radio veteran yourself.
No, I just always feel like I'm at home, and it's always a lot of fun, A, because you have beautiful facilities up here. The one of two Civic Media studios that have a shower, this one and Hayward.
Oh, Hayward, we have two, by the way.
Yes, so not well, you're the only one that has two.
Yeah, we need the showers more here, apparently. We've got serious body odor.
I've showered at the one in Hayward when I covered the Birkenbeiner, but never showered here.
Interesting.
So maybe I'll shower after the show.
It's weird. Like, if you were caught showering here, it might seem strange. Like, if I thought, I'm going to go in there and shower, and somebody walked in, right, I'd probably feel like a little pervy or something. And why would I? There's a shower there. I should be able to use it, but I feel like I can't.
And well, there's no curtain on them. Well, that's part of it.
That's part of the fun of showering though without curtain. You never know.
The risk.
Exactly.
It makes it a little edge.
Exactly.
All right. Well, tell us what you've been on before. We always appreciate it. For those that might not know, your program follows Maggie Dawns every evening from 6 until 8. It's a great show, Pete. It really
Thank
is.
You.
I enjoy it. It's a great way to wind down the day.
Yeah, I think that was our goal, and it's always fun when you're on. You always make it so much fun, and I was so busy today beforehand. I was thinking, what can I do to make my entrance or my appearance here rival when you come on my show? And I was pressed for time, so I thought black socks and sandals for Father's Day?
Look at that. Beautiful. Well done.
I got the black socks, but I don't own sandals. And I was like, I would have had to go to Goodwill to get a pair of like old-time sandals.
Go with my nieces. They're big thrifters.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's all the rage now. The kids love the thrifty. That just proves my point, Pete Schwabba. You're cool enough. You don't need a gimmick. A schlep like me, it's like the old gypsy. If you're gonna bump it, bump with the trumpet. You know, if you're gonna, you gotta have a gimmick. If you're gonna get ahead, that's the line from Gypsy. You're big enough. You've been an actor. You've been a writer. You've been a producer. You're a host on PBS. You got your own show here. You don't need a gimmick, Pete Schwabba.
Well, you're very nice, but I'm also still kind of learning radio, and you're like one of the guys I kind of listen to.
Going in and out of breaks.
And yeah, you steered me wrong a couple times, but Conrad has my back in rallies.
That's good.
No, it's I've done all those things, and I've also been a garbage man.
You have?
I have.
I did not know this.
Yeah, after my freshman year in college, I got a job with the city of Marinette. I went home for the summer, and they offered me a job as a street surveyor with another college, with a college girl. So we would measure streets, and that was our job. And here I am. Here's how stupid young people are. I'm like, oh man, I'm going to show them I'm a go-getter. And we measured this. We had every street measured within like 2.5 weeks. The job was supposed to last all summer.
Really?
Here's what hard work gets you. They stuck me on a garbage truck. They made her do filing, and I had to empty bad meat and milk out of people's garbage cans. It was disgusting. It was horrible.
You could have spent the summer measuring with a hot chick, and instead you're stuck in a garbage truck.
I know. What is the matter with me? Like, that's why you have to take, you know, when older people give you advice, folks, you have to take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Because if I had just kind of coasted, which is what people do now, nobody believes in hard. It's like, you know, why am I busting my butt trying to, And yeah, it was horrible. And then, and all the city workers hated me, you know, because I was a college kid. And then there was another guy.
Don't make us look bad, dude.
No, exactly. So yeah, it was a brutal summer. But it, you know what? It taught me not to work hard. So that something good did come out of it, I think.
See, that's why I'm a procrastinator, because oftentimes things will just take care of themselves.
Right, right. Exactly.
You know, some days I wake up and my sister, who sometimes has traveled with me for this show, and some days I wish she goes, well, what's your show about today? I'm like, I'm not sure. And you wake up and there's not a show, and then something will happen. I'm like, now you got a show.
Right.
That's the beauty of it.
And if you had worked hard the night before, you wouldn't have been able to watch that Three Is Company marathon on Nick at Night.
Exactly. Exactly.
It all works out.
We're talking with Pete Schwabe. He is the host of the fantastic program Nightlight every evening on this radio network from 6 until 8. Pete, let's talk a little bit of entertainment. Big week, unfortunately, yeah, in bad ways for music. We lost Sly Stone. I was listening to Matt Nair and Air with our great friend Jane Matt Nair.
Yeah.
And as she rarely does, but I always do, she stumbled over words and she said, we lost Sly Stallone this week. I'm like, what? I didn't hear that part.
That would have been an easier one to take.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But no, Sly Stone. And then we lost Brian Wilson, really the voice, the brains, if I can, behind the Beach Boys.
Yeah, that was a bit. I mean, you know, they were both in their 80s. It wasn't like they weren't tragic losses, but still losses. And it makes you, I mean, to me, I just watched the Sly Lives documentary recently. That guy, I mean, Sly Stone was such a visionary. And I had no idea. Like, I liked his music. I thought he was this charismatic guy. I knew nothing, though, about how influential he was to people like Prince and the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Stevie Wonder, and just a phenomenal talent. And then Brian Wilson, too. That guy was like the voice of a generation, so to speak. And another thing I didn't know about Brian Wilson until I was probably in my 30s was that he was considered a musical genius. Like, their music sounds so easy and carefree. And it's like, oh, yeah, they just sing about. No, he was a phenomenal musician and absolutely brilliant. So two huge losses in the music world.
It really was. And I, to your point, I mean, I knew who Brian Wilson was, but I'm a big fan of Anthony Mason at CBS, who's done a lot of stuff for CBS Sunday Morning. He's really a true music entertainment guy.
Yeah.
And they replayed this week an interview that he had done with Brian Wilson some years back. And I didn't realize how much Paul McCartney in particular, but the Beatles, really respected and looked up to Brian Wilson, and they released the Sgt. Pepper album after the album.
I just to chime in here, the Beatles had a legendary pioneering production team. So did the Beach Boys because of Brian Wilson. Like, if you look at the song Good Vibrations, that one alone took, if I recall, like $70,000 and like 8 months of studio recording across the country in 4 or 5 different studios to record the one song.
Wow.
That's crazy.
When I heard that Paul McCartney looked up to Brian Wilson, I mean, you know that the guy has legit musical cred.
And that's how I think a lot of people in the music industry looked up to him like that. Again, and I didn't know that. Like, I'm not, I know music, I have eclectic tastes, I like a little bit of everything, but I don't know. I've never done a deep dive until I got into my 30s and some of these people. And it's just, you really appreciate their contributions.
What would you say, Pete Schwabe, what's your wheelhouse of entertainment? What genre, what part of entertainment do you say, boy, that's the one I really know best, or I like to talk about the best on the show or otherwise?
Tap dancing?
Really? I did not know that.
I wish I could tap dance. No, probably, I started in the business as a stand-up comedian, and then I kind of segued into comedy writing. So I would say probably comedy. But, you know, I also, like, growing up, I loved, like, Woody Allen, Albert Brooks, these kind of, these comedians that wrote their own films, starred in them, and directed them. And I got to do that with my film, The Godfather of Green Bay. So certainly not to the degree of success that those guys had, but those were my influences growing up. I just loved comedy. I loved stand-up, sketch, funny movies, and TV. So that's kind of been what I've done my whole adult life. And the great thing about Nightlight is I get to talk about those experiences and have some of those people on the show at night to, like you said, help people kind of wind down at the end of the day after we, especially now with what's going on in the world and in our country. I mean, talking politics could be stressful enough just when you're coming from this side and this person's coming from this side. But now what's happening, it's like you really need an escape, you know? And so much so, Todd, it's so contentious right now. I almost feel like I shouldn't be talking about some of this stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, but I think people do need an escape.
I was watching After Midnight, the show that comes on after Colbert on CBS. It just got canceled, actually.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Now I'm blanking on her name.
Taylor Tomlinson.
Yeah. And I've heard that she's a spectacular comedian, like a stand-up in a club. But I don't want to go into it, but I think the show was ill-conceived. It was a low budget and just a weird show. So that's canceled. But she came on, I think it was Monday, and she's like, yeah, this is the last week of our show. But she's like, she was, you could tell it's the last week because now she's really good because she's saying what she really thinks.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, I honestly don't want to do this crap right now. I don't feel like I should be joking about this.
Right.
When all this stuff is going on right now.
But all the more reason, you know, you can't, I mean, I make the mistake sometimes of looking at the most toxic, like Twitter. It's just,
yes,
it's like nobody commenting. They're all spewing such hate and they don't have the real names, their real pictures or anything like that. So, you know, all the more reason. I look at that right before I go to bed, and then I need a sitcom or something to wind me down, you know? So
you can wind down every night with Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. We'll come back, talk with more with him and Conrad. We're live from WGBW in downtown Green Bay on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live in downtown Green Bay.
Thanks for sticking around for this weekend's Best of the Todd Allball Show. We're going to wrap up with the rest of Todd's conversation with Pete Schwabba of Nightlight. Nightlight is one of our great civic media programs all about entertainment, music and movies and TV. Check it out on weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. If you want more, you can head to civicmedia.us/shows or go anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can also watch the streams on YouTube.
Followed by Nightlight. With the one, the only Pete Schwabba, he is here in his own studio here in Green Bay with us, along with his great producer, Conrad, on the other side of the glass. Gentlemen, thank you for letting us borrow your studio for a day.
Well, thanks
for... Actually, two.
As it turned out. It's great to have you here. I know you've been here before, Todd. Yeah. It's like you're kind of an old pro here when it comes to Green Bay. You've done your show everywhere in the state.
I'm like the bad penny that keeps showing up. Oh, God, not him again. You know? We were talking a little bit in the last segment there. Of course, Pete's show, as we said, airs every night from 6 until 8. We were talking about Taylor Tomlinson a little bit. Your show, one of the reasons I love your show, and I don't mean to suck up or anything here, but I truly mean this, is that it has a little bit of that Carson vibe to it, Letterman vibe, because it's truly, you have people on, because of your connections in Los Angeles and across Wisconsin, you have legit people in entertainment, and not just actors or directors, producers, or comedians, all those people, and you have the time enough to have real conversations, and I love that about the show.
You know, I like doing that. I first of all, since I've been doing the show, we've been on for like a year and a half, maybe almost. Mm-hmm. And I have been floored at the amount of talent in Wisconsin, whether it's comedically, comedy, music. Terry Barr comes on every Friday night. She's on vacation. Rocker comes on tonight for a bar band Friday night. And the music I've found just from local artists and the comedy from local comedians, even comedians in Wisconsin, but specifically because I do the show here in Northeast Wisconsin. Some great comics. So it's kind of made it easy. So yeah, it's fun to have people on from all over the country or people I've known a long time and kind of do a deep dive into, you know, what makes you funny or how do you write your jokes, that kind of stuff. Right. But it's been great to talk to more local artists as well. You know,
I've said this before on the show, but it bears repeating because I love the story. My stepmom, who is over in Shawano, and she'll listen to our show occasionally, but when you joined the network, we had a conversation. I said, oh, Pete Schwabba is going to be doing this show. She went, Pete Schwabba? You mean the guy that does the show on public television? Oh, and I said, yeah. And she said, oh, I want to listen to that.
Oh, that's so
I mean, your work there, I think, is really well. And it's great work as well.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that was a fun. I watched this show on PBS Wisconsin called Director's Cut. My friend Steve Burrows was on. He had made a film called Chump Change, which was very funny. And you know, this guy on PBS Wisconsin is interviewing Steve on this show called Director's Cut. I'm like, this is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like PBS California doesn't have that where I lived at the time. And when I came back, I had made this film called The Godfather of Green Bay. And I sent it to them and I said, hey, I'd love to do your show. And they said, okay, we'll have you on. And then the host stepped down and I took over shortly after moving back here. And when I went on as a guest, I had my pal Lance Barber come on with me, who was in The Godfather of Green Bay. And he happened to be in the Midwest at the time. And so we did the show together. And it was just a blast. So I did that for about 10 years. And now we still do episodes periodically and we do a Wisconsin Film Festival episode. But most of my duties there now are writing the intros for Independent Lens and POV.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I write them and then I introduce them. But it's not, rarely do I get the chance to be funny or say, you know, because some of these documentaries are so heavy.
Right.
And a lot of them are from foreign countries and you got to research everything. So it's kind of become a different gig, but it's really fulfilling. I really like it.
I got more. I went to the Wisconsin Film Festival this year. I mean, one other time, but you know, two people I know, John Roach had his great film, powerful film.
A Road at Night.
Thank you. The story of Howard Moore and the tragedy of his family going through that car accident. And then our friends at Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, which I have the DVD in my hot little hands. Sean Hannish and Kelly Call, great story of the Brewers. That was also at the Wisconsin Film Festival. And so there's so many Wisconsin-based people or people from Wisconsin that do great film.
Oh, man. It was this year in particular was fun because I got to meet John. He was on Director's Cut for our episode.
Yeah, Roach. Yeah, fantastic guy.
And that documentary made me proud to have an association with Wisconsin. Like, I didn't go to UW-Madison. My brother Andrew did. But I was like, oh my God, that film, the first part of it made me want to go back in time and go to UW-Madison.
Right, yeah.
And then it gets very heartfelt at the end and there's a tragedy, but what an incredible story that was. And then Sean and Kelly, I got to hang out with a couple times just at the after parties and they were great guys. Like I met Sean through you. You had him on your show. We had him on Nightlight a couple times. He did the popcorn pick of the week 1 week. And then I met Kelly at the film festival, and I just really enjoy talking to those guys. So they're having fun being back in Wisconsin, and I had fun just meeting them and talking to them about the business. So it was a blast.
Conrad, best part of working with Pete on Nightlight, or worse, whichever you want.
The end of the night when I get to go home.
Wow! The end of the night when he gets to... You can't buy that kind of loyalty.
Like, where this is going.
No, you guys are great together, and that's part of the... You know, you clearly do get along, like to work with each other, and that's another part of the show that I enjoy as well.
Conrad writes a 2-hour script every night, and then I hack the hell out of it. He gets mad at me, and he storms out, and then we have to get it back together before we go in there. We have a good
coming
time,
up tonight.
Man. We've got an actress from the UP, Stephanie Gurnow, who does a lot of horror film acting. She's on the show at 6:35. Comedian Steve Hofstetter at 7:05. And then it's a bar band Friday night. Rocker is filling in for Terry for the third week in a row.
Wow.
Terry Barr will be back next week, but she's taking
a
well-deserved.
She's off with the Penguins, right? I think something like that.
I've been tracking her all over the globe because I put a bug on her car. And she's driving.
She's driving around
she's driving
the world.
Across I didn't know the world. But Terry will be back next week, but she's having a blast. So.
Well, many thanks, not just to you, but thank you very much, Pete Schwabe. Listen to him tonight from 6 until 8 on Nightlight. Conrad, thanks for all your work the last couple of days as well. Want to shout out to Todd Michaels, the GM here in Green Bay and Oshkosh. Also to Amanda, Eliza, all the other crew here at Green Bay for making this happen this week. Really appreciate you guys doing a great job up here. And Lisa Hale for coming on the show as well today. And Zomer's back home. We'll be back there on Monday, and to everyone else at Civic Media who made this show go, thank you so much, and all a big thanks to all of you who are listening and watching.
That's all for this week's Best of the Todd Albaugh Show. As always, if you want to hear the rest of the week's shows, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And as Todd always says, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you on Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.